to Alive, the podcast where we talk about life-changing stories through the power of Jesus Christ. Hosted by Pastor Patina Ripke.
Right, so we're going to continue this discussion. Chip Nelson, you are involved in what part of the ministry with the prison ministry? So talk a little bit about what you do and what your role is in the ministry.
Sure. I currently serve as the vice president for the ministry. So I'm working with some of the logistics and some of the other things that we do in the ministry. The gifting that the Lord has given me is to teach, is to teach his word. And I enjoy doing that. That's one of the reasons why I'm here. And I help with the facilitating of the Church Behind Bars program. I am going through some of the content of the program right now, and we're revising some of the things that we as Lord's leading us to do that. I also create curriculum for those who have graduated from the Church Behind Bars program into some advanced, or maybe you could say a graduate program for them, if you will.
Yeah.
And we teach something that's called Changing Hearts, Changing Lives, and it is the foundations of personal ministry, of understanding that God's target is our heart. Mm-hmm. And really, really unpacking that and allow people to understand what Scripture says about that. So we're doing a lot of that to our graduates as we go there. We just finished a class. We just graduated some, and awesome. We spent several hours in teaching, and these men are just like sponges. So I get to do that, and besides we're a small ministry as far as the amount of people that are running the ministry. So there are a lot of different hats that need to be worn with logistics between chaplains and logistics between materials and volunteers and schedules and all of those type of things. So I'm involved in doing a lot of those things as well.
So you were talking about like people, the prisoners, they're like sponges and they take the material. So you guys really believe in that change is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm. So tell me about a prisoner maybe that you've seen who's had a dramatic change. I know there are probably many.
There are very many of those. I can share one in particular. I won't use the gentleman's name. I'll give him the name Mike.
Okay.
And Mike, I met him a few years ago. And when we would go into a prison and Tony and the team would do the concerts, this guy would always dance. Excuse me. He would always dance in the middle of the aisle. And he had these white sneakers on. And he was just a short little guy. And he looked tough, though. He had a weathered face and weathered skin, and he was just rough. And a lot of people didn't really mess with him. And this had gone on for a few years, and I had seen him. And he was never involved in any of the Church Behind Bars classes, but he came out to every single concert. And so one day, I just happened to be in a back room, and the officers came in, and they do what they call a count. So they stop the program. Everybody has to stand up. They go separate by dorms into these separate rooms where they can be easily counted. And I happened to be in one of the rooms where his dorm came into. So I decided to stay in there and just talk with the guys. And we were sharing some of the things of what the Lord is doing. And this man says to me, I asked him, I said, you know, Mike, I have seen you for many years. And every time I see you, you're always dancing. And a couple of times that I've talked to you, are you going to dance tonight? You would look at me and you would say to me, you don't even know why I dance. And that was it. That's all I would say. And he would say it really sternly, you don't even know why I dance. And turn around and he'd go off and do his thing. So I'm in the room and Mike happens to be in the room with me, and I started talking with him. And so, Mike, why don't you tell me, why do you dance? And Mike shared a story with me that shook me. And it was just the amazing power of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. And the reason that it shook me is because there are a lot of people in this world that pretend to be Christians. Mm-hmm. They're whitewashed on the outside, but the inside is filthy. And they haven't given their hearts to God. So this man was one of those men. He said that he grew up in a Christian home. And there was a lot of brokenness in his home, and he was sexually abused by a neighbor. And at a young age, around 11 years old, and it happened for years, and it was one of his friend's dads. And he was sexually abused. His mother and father ended up going through a divorce right around 14 years old. And it really shook him. He didn't know what was going on. He was already under shame for a few years. He had been being abused and started living this semi type of homosexual lifestyle and questioning who he was sexually. And he ended up being kicked out of his home at a young age. At about 15, he was on the streets. And he needed to make money, and he was involved in drugs, and all these things just escalated into a lifestyle that you would associate with people who live on the street. Not everybody does, but it's the stereotypical, I live on the streets, I do drugs, I steal things. He would steal anything that he could, and he started to become a male prostitute. And at a young age, he was prostituting, and they would rob their mark, their Johns, and they would go to the clubs and do these type of things. So he did this for about 10 years straight. And he got arrested eventually because he had stolen and he was soliciting sexual acts and prostitution, and he was put into jail. And he says, as soon as you go into jail, first thing everybody does is they go grab a Bible. And they go back in and they try to connect with God, or they try to do the things that make them look good. And he was like that. He mm-hmm. grabbed his Bible. He said, I knew so many people that were Christians. I knew fake Christians that I was just like them. I'd grab my Bible. I'd sit there. We'd go through the classes. I'd get my certificates and act like I'm the good guy. And behind the doors, nobody knew what I was doing. I was involved in this type of activity. And it was killing him inside because he was hiding behind something, but he knew who he truly was. And the Spirit of God was just convicting him, and he was just being so convicted. And he was at the point of wanting to commit suicide. So he shot himself. He tried to commit suicide twice. Wow. He hung himself once while he was in prison.
Wow.
And then when he got out of prison on one of his stints, he shot himself, and you can still see visible marks of where the exit wounds were coming out of the back of his neck, and he kind of did it this way. And he was in despair. He didn't know who he was, what he was. Nobody would even deal with him because of what he had given up of his purity and his life. And he was disowned by everybody, and he ultimately ends up getting another prison sentence. And during that prison sentence, he did the same thing, picked up his Bible and went into the Bible classes, and he says, I'm going to show them all who are fake Christians. And he was watching he was in an evangelism class, and they were talking about how God loves you. And he says, he doesn't know why, but it finally hit him that God loved him. No matter that he had been a prostitute, a homosexual. He says, I wasn't even homosexual. It was just that was prostitution for me, and that's how I made money, that he was a thief and that he did all of these things. And he said it broke him, and he just laid out prone on the floor of the Lord. The Spirit just slayed him on the floor, and he cried for days. And he gave his life to the Lord. He really gave his life to the Lord at that point in time. And he was sharing with me this story. And he hadn't shared it with anybody ever before. And he was telling me this in just complete tears, this rough-looking guy. And he was bawling when he was telling this to me, and so transparent in the brokenness that this man had. And you could see how he was healed from this. And to me, the power of the Holy Spirit taking this man's heart, taking a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh, heart that feels and wants to know God.
Yeah.
And so he's just moving into this place. But he was still held back because I'm in prison. And if these guys know that I was a homosexual or I was a prostitute, you can't imagine what things are going to come at me. Mm. Solicitations.
Yeah.
People are going to look at me differently. I'm a tough guy in here.
Right.
All of these type of things. And he was appealing to me. What do I do? Mm. I know that there are probably other people out there. I think this Holy Spirit is just telling me that I need to share my story because there are probably other people out there who are in that same place of desperation and despair and hopelessness and doing the same thing, and I could share with them. And I said, that's a 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Father of all comfort, and he wants us to share these things
yeah.
so he could show how he's raised you up out of the pit. So God, you know, God opposes the proud, but he exalts the humble, and we need to be transparent and humble and allow the Spirit of God. He's giving you that testimony. That's your testimony. So he says to me, he goes, you know, I'm going to join the Church Behind Bars class. So I saw him there again this weekend. We just got back from there,
awesome.
And I saw him there, and he wasn't dancing. And I said, you're going to dance today? And he looked at me and goes, no, I'm not going to dance. I go, well, did you join the Church Behind Bars? And he says, no, I didn't do that yet. And I looked at him and I said, why? He goes, I don't know. I said, you promised me. And more importantly, the Lord gave you a compelling story that you said you needed to share with people so that they could see the love of God, because you were slain when you found out that God loved you mm-hmm. and put his son on the cross for you, that he died on the cross for you. And he goes, you're right. And the tears just started welling up, and the Spirit of God was just moving within him, and he went and signed up right then and there. But he's been, you know, he attends church, and he goes to the Bible studies, and he's ministering, and he's part of a program that they have there for, as Tony had mentioned before, these inmates, they have nothing.
Right.
And when a new inmate comes into prison, it's a culture that Tony talked about of extortion. Indigent people come in there. They have nothing. So maybe this guy says, I'll give you this. And when you get your mm-hmm. stuff in, you're going to give me this. And they hold these things over you. So they had put together a ministry, which is like a benevolent ministry. Mm-hmm. And they have a locker, and they get the stuff from the canteen where they'll get honey buns and cup of soups and things like that, and toothpaste and soap and other things like that. And when a new person comes in, their outreach is to reach out to this person and give him some of the things mm-hmm. that he needs, and just share the, you know, they may be the only face or the only touch or the only hands of Christ
yeah.
that anybody sees behind the prison walls.
Yeah.
And that's what the Church Behind Bars is doing, is teaching them what it means to be the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's not the hallelujahs, which are great, and coming to the worship services and going to, it's serving. Mm-hmm. And we're called to be a servant leader. So he's in the midst of serving and understanding this yeah. and being part of that. So it's really
I really thank you for sharing that story, because, you know, we are outside of the world of those who have been incarcerated. So
it's a very insulated place
yeah.
where we live.
And I know they don't get a lot of visitors. They don't get, you know, even if they have family, it's hard. You guys go in there and administer to them. But to hear the stories of hope and change, and I know change, when Jesus said, follow me, I look back at the disciples and I think they began following him, but they weren't 100% what God wanted them to be. Mm. It took a lot of time and in being in Jesus' presence. And yeah. so I look at the story you just told, but you went back and you challenged him again, and you guys keep going back, and the prisoners keep seeing you, and they're in this program. I think it's phenomenal to hear that.
I think it's a unique ministry that the Lord's placed us in and he's guiding us in. And, you know, the one-day programs, where there are a lot of people that want to serve in prisons. And they'll go in, and they might go in and do a program, and they're gone. Or they just come in once a week, and they just preach, and then they're gone.
Right.
And they go in, and they do a church service, and they're gone. They're not building relationships.
Right.
And the three-day program allows us to build relationships. And then we come on a regular basis, not every week. And we do not every week for 2 hours and then we leave. We're there all day long for 3 or 4 days. Our next trip's coming up. It's a 6-7 day trip. We'll build relationships with these men, which and then we build a level of trust as well. And we're able to speak into their lives, not because we're holding anything over them. It's because we care for them and we love them, and we know that Christ is working through us, and that we really want to be able to challenge them as well, but in love, and to let them know that our faith is a red-blooded warrior religion, and but our weapon is love, and we move through the love of Christ that's in our lives. And so they need to see that and understand that and be challenged by that and be able to surrender their hearts to God, because God says you could cast your fears and anxieties away, or whatever's holding you back because you're afraid of whatever it may be or whatever anxiety that you have. He's there with open arms. That's and right. Just submit to yourselves to him. He's already gone before you. He's already prepared the way. He knows exactly the plans he has for you. Just fall in line and be obedient to right. the King of Kings. And we're there to just help continue to encourage that message. It's nothing that we say or do that's any better than anybody else, but we just want to continue to point people to Christ.
Yeah, because he has the answers.
All of it.
You know, I have one final question for you. For the person who says, I really want to get involved, but I've never done anything like this before. I don't have any qualifications. I'm really scared. It's outside of my comfort zone. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, the number one thing that I would say to that person is pray. Just put it before the Lord. I always say that if somebody is coming to me with those type of obstacles, the objection to overcome those objections would simply be, the only reason you're communicating these things to me is because the Spirit of God is pressing you and prodding you to want to move into this. So now we just need to trust him, pray about these things, and move into it. To satisfy our own human emotions and our fears that we may have, you're with a team that's been doing this for a long time. And yes. you'll be well taken care of and cared for and loved on, and we'll guide you and direct you, and we'll walk with you and help you determine what gifts you may have as will allow you to serve in certain areas. You can even just sit and watch and participate. One thing I like to tell people, and you had asked Tony this question, what would you say to a church? And I've had many years of pastoring a church and have missions and people coming in. And one of the things that I would say to the church is more and more of our flock, of the body of Christ that we are shepherds over, need to see God in action.
Yes.
They need to see
Very good point.
Outside yeah. of the insulated walls yep. that the God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or forever. And he is still doing miracles.
Yes.
Things are still happening. And you're not going to just see it sitting in your Saturday, Sunday morning here, and then right. go back home and sit here.
You're right.
And you're not going to see it.
No, not like
you may
would.
Have an opportunity to witness a thing here or there, but right. you're not going to see this power of
the
lives
power of,
change.
That's right. No, I'm passionate about what you just said, too, because I feel like the church now, the reason why so many people – rewind. People are seeking, and we know they're seeking because they're going into looking for spiritual things right now, very spiritual, in quotes, in our country. So I know that they're seeking something beyond this world. Now, they're seeking control. There's a lot of those kinds of things. But I think the church has lost its ability to reveal. So what you're saying is that they don't see the power of God. They don't see the power of God all the time in the church, but the power of God exists. But where does God typically reveal his power? To those who need it,
yeah.
to those who are in need, to those who acknowledge their need, to the poor, to the oppressed, to those who are imprisoned. I mean, that's what Jesus said he came to do. And so when you put yourself there, and you see God, where you're right. I mean, that will change the mindset of people and go, no, God is real.
Yeah. And that's a key. I mean, that word change is huge because there's a from to dynamic that mm-hmm. that God puts us through, that we move through. And that from to dynamic always has to deal with the heart. And God changes our hearts. And as our hearts change, it's a whole another message that we could talk about. But as God seeks and changes our heart, he does that through situations and circumstances, things that, God gives sight to the blind. And sometimes we can be blind to our own blindness.
Yes.
And God does that for us. And so when we press into God, when we go to come and see, I love that. Come and see.
Yeah.
Just come and see.
That's right.
And watch and observe. God manifests himself in so many ways, and he'll take and put the mud on your eyes and give you sight that you could see. But what God's going to do is he's going to deal with you. Mm-hmm. Because when you go, too many people will go out into a mission field and they look for external things. I will tell you that most people, maybe all the people that I've ever spoken with on a mission field, including myself, say that they were ministered to more being out in the mission field than the ministry that they did
for
the people they were with. Because God's dealing with our hearts, and he's showing you things, how he's dealing with other people, and he's showing us things in our hearts that maybe we have put on the throne of our heart of over God.
That's right.
And God's a jealous God, and he wants our hearts, and he wants to remove those idols from our hearts. But he does it in these type of environments that he'll show you, and there you will get sight.
Yeah.
And so I would say, if you want to draw nearer to God and you want to really start knowing God, there's lots of ways to do it. But he says, draw nearer to me, and I'll draw nearer to you.
You're right.
Go. Mm-hmm. Go and see.
That's right.
Come and see what God's doing.
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for tagging along and coming in. And
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to sit here.
We're just going to put you in your seat and you're going to answer questions. No, I really, really appreciate you guys coming today and sharing more about the ministry that is so desperately needed in the prison system, not only here in the United States, but elsewhere. So I'm looking forward to talking to you guys again.
Yeah. We just wanted to say that how much we appreciated spending time with you as well and the body that was here when we were here last weekend, I think
yeah,
it was,
last or
the weekend,
weekend
before. Fantastic to see that. And, you know, there's always encouragement to see a body who is seeking God.
Yeah.
And to hear your heart from some of the things that you shared with me and how you're moving through what's transpiring here.
Yes.
We're praying for you.
Thank you.
And we know God will guide and direct that
yes.
path. And so we're very, very appreciative of you and your support for our ministry and giving us this opportunity to share how God is using us for his glory.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.